We want to go back to the broadband issue. We're talking to Timmy Dooley, who's on the Oireachtas Committee for Communications. They had the chief executive of AIR in yesterday. AIR were saying they could do what seemed to be a like-for-like for about €1 billion or so. There'd probably be more costs, but we'd call it €1.5 billion maybe, instead of the €3 billion, which is the current thinking as regards what the plan would be. So let's talk to a campaigner for broadband in County Wicklow, Ashley Glover. Good morning to you, Ashley.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you again. No doubt with your interest in broadband and broadband in the county, you've been listening to this or reading reports. What's in your view? Could it be done for an AIR campaign of about €1.5 billion?
Yeah, I think it probably €1.5 billion is a bit high, but yeah.
Right, and would it be the same? Would there be any extra to do? If they're similar, why don't we go for the one that costs less money rather than, say, the cheaper, which might be cheap and nasty?
Possibly for political reasons, but let's maybe run through the pros and cons of both options. How about that?
Okay,
so what we heard yesterday was that potentially the cost could be one-third of what the National Broadband Plan promoted costs are at the moment. Now, remember, a lot of this is redacted, so we don't have the actual information on what the actual cost is. But let's say what Leoma and Bruton and so on have said, it's around €3 billion. So we'd be saving in the region of €2 billion going with AIR. So that's obviously a big positive. And maybe the discussion just stops there. Maybe that's it. It's, you know, because obviously we need the money for housing, we need the money for healthcare, we need the money for lots of different things. So maybe the conversation just finished yesterday at around 5:30 when, you know, AIR said, well, listen, you know, let's do it for a third of the price. Maybe that's it. And, you know, conversation is over and we don't need to, you know, be talking about this time next year. But what are the other pros? I suppose the other one is the time frame. The time frame at the moment is in the region of 7 to 10 years, which is a long time. You know, if you think about kids that are, you know, doing the junior cert recently, they're going to be, you know, finished university by then. So if we went for a quicker time frame, which we could do with AIR, then we're looking like shaving a few years off that, maybe bring it down somewhere in the region. My estimates would be 3 to 5 years. The third advantage, and this was a known issue, but it's kind of come into the kind of fore now. The National Broadband Plan plans to overbuild existing fibre. So a lot of people in Wicklow will have noticed that there is fibre in their local towns. The plan at the moment is to overbuild that to get to the rural areas instead of building it on from the end.
And why is that? I mean, that sounds a bit daft, doesn't it?
That is, yes.
What that sounds to me? It sounds like to me that if you've got a big driveway up to your house, you build a second driveway beside it because you're not going to use the first driveway.
Right. Well, if you remember, you were interested in where I lived the last time. Let me explain it in terms. So at the moment, the fibre comes up to an equestrian centre about 500 metres away from me. That's the air fibre, and it just stops dead. So I can't connect, and the 17 houses on the lane in Ashford cannot connect. It just stops. If AIR were doing it, AIR would take the fibre from 500 metres and run it past the 17 houses, and then any of those 17 houses that want to connect for £170, they could connect. That is what would happen if AIR do it. If they go ahead with the current plan, which, again, on the face of it looks bonkers, what the new bidder would do is build all the way back to the exchange in Ashford, which adds another 2.5 kilometres of fibre just to pass the 17 houses at the end of the lane. That appears to me to be bonkers. There are other weird and unusual terms in the National Broadband Plan as well, and I can run through those. But the overbuild one, even though it was in the paperwork that was released by the government recently, I don't think people really noticed what the implications are. And from a public opinion perspective, everyone is going to think, if they go ahead with the National Broadband Plan, that the towns are getting a second fibre network, because that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah. And can AIR's infrastructure take on
it's absolutely built for it. They built it for it because they didn't know that they wouldn't be in it. And they assumed, rightly so, that whoever wins would use it. So, absolutely, it's built for it. They've got the capacity there to do it. Analysys Mason, who's one of the consultants to the National Broadband Plan, have said to the Oireachtas that they will provide, in writing, the reasons why it's better to overbuild. But so far, they haven't done that. And a lot of people in the industry are obviously sceptical.
Do you know what this sounds like?
It doesn't sound logical.
You know what this sounds like to me now, and maybe you have a different view? This sounds like to me like a bidding process after the event.
Potentially. Like, that's not the only... Let me give you an example of one of the other weird things in the National Broadband Plan. So at the moment, there's a compensation clause which says that if the winner of the National Broadband Plan goes ahead and builds into an area, and when they get there, they find that somebody else is encroaching, they call it, on that territory, i.e., an indigenous, say, somebody like Wicklow Broadband or somebody like Sky or somebody else, whoever it is, goes and operates in that intervention area, then the National Broadband Company will be compensated by the taxpayer for the fact that somebody else is competing against them. Doesn't that sound weird?
God, it does, yeah, yeah.
So I suppose there are, maybe the conversation should just stop on cost. And word from the Oireachtas is, over the next 2 weeks, there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, who knew what. Did the government, did the department in particular, really know that this could be done for a billion? And, you know, there'll be obviously, you know, political fallout from that. But I suppose in the reality is, you know, will the conversation stop now once AIR say, yeah, look, all we have to do is basically add the extra 500,000 premises to their existing commitment agreement, which they've nearly finished. That's 300,000 premises they're finished. So basically add that on the end and just continue. So instead of finishing their rollout at the end of the summer, which they're due to do, they're actually supposed to be finished next week, but they're a bit over time, but they will be finished by the end of the summer. Instead of downing tools and starting on stopping rural and just moving to compete against the Virgin rollouts in the towns, will they just go ahead and, you know, keep going, you know, continuing, as I said, instead of stopping at the equestrian centre down the road, they'll just continue up the lane.
Right. And can you see anything hidden in this
conversation now?
I mean, for the country, the guts of 2 billion to not have to spend is so attractive in this. Is there something else in it? Is there politics?
Yeah.
Well, there's always politics.
Yeah, there will be a lot of politics, and it's a stand down, isn't it? So politically, it's a stand down because, as you know, recently as yesterday, Leo was saying he didn't believe the AIRCOM bid, which is, again, that's strange.
Yeah, well, he had concerns about it as regards. Was it connected to the House or not? But Timmy Dooley said he was happy that the houses would be connected. So
yeah, and I'm happy they are. But there are some downsides to going with the AIR bid. You want to run through them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's be fair about this.
The biggest one is that it's AIR. And I think, you know, Ireland have an unusual relationship with AIR. I think it's fair to say, you know.
Okay, but let's say we used to own AIR, and now and then we sold it off, and then about 25 million people in different consecutive ownerships owned it in the end. But anyway, it's come back to where it is now. Will we own, just before you get into the list, will we own any of the infrastructure at the end?
No, none of it.
On either
none
of them. Okay, go through the disadvantage of AIR, and that's usually cost of complaints.
The biggest disadvantage is that it's AIR, and it's that simple. It's AIR. People hate AIR, and it's the reality. AIR know that, and anything they say will be, you know, taken with some scepticism just because AIR said it. If it was the ESB that was saying this, now, by the way, ESB are actually coming before the Oireachtas Committee at 5 o'clock today. So maybe they'll have an option to put their hat back in the ring. But the biggest issue probably is the public opinion issue around air. People don't really trust air.
Okay, well, can I say, right?
Yeah.
I have been on, for my mobile, I've been on Vodafone, or Aircom, or Air, whatever, all the Aircell, onto Vodafone, onto 3, went to Meteor, very happy with Meteor. I'm currently on Air, and I haven't an ounce of unhappiness with air. Any problem I've had was sorted within an hour. Any issues I had with them have been absolutely wonderful. And I read, and I know Connor Pope highlights it often at a time, with genuine complaints that people have about air and their customer service, I haven't, thankfully, touch wood, maybe I'm one of the lucky ones, never experienced anything with air.
I think you can also separate out the customer service of air and the network build bit of air. Nobody hates the guys that fix and repair the lines, okay? People can separate that out. They may hate the guy that sticks them on hold for an hour and a half in the call center, but they've got no issues with, you know, somebody coming and fixing the line when it's down. That side of things is not a problem. So I think the public opinion issue around air, I think that's resolvable. Probably the second issue, and some people mentioned this yesterday, is that McCourt will now sue the government because they'll say, oh, well, we geared up for this. I think in reality, the way to get around that is basically to just set aside the bid cost in a kind of escrow account. And if a court case does come further down the road, then, you know, the only thing they can really claim back is their bid cost, which is about $20 million. So I wouldn't be concerned about a legal challenge. You know, certainly not for $2 billion, I wouldn't be. The third issue is that the air connections under the air plan would cost €70 more per premises. And some people don't want to pay anything for broadband.
Timmy Doolin said, sure, if we cover that even by the state, it would be still much cheaper than the $3 billion.
It's €70 over the whole lifespan of your connection.
I know, it could be absorbed.
And to be honest, that's an issue that Comreg need to resolve.
Ashley, you know, I've got to leave it there on time. We've got to move on to the next item, but no doubt we're going to hear lots more about that. We value the inputs that you have. So thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
Good to talk to you. Thank you. Ashley Glover there is a broadband campaigner in Wicklow raising this. I mean, it sounds on the surface, of course, all these things look a bit different when you're involved, but $3 billion down to just over $1 billion, you have $2 billion to squander on the National Children's Hospital, but at least there's $2 billion that we wouldn't have to spend on this. What do you think?